You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live from the Civic Media World Headquarters in Madison, Wisconsin, it's the Todd Albaugh Show. And now, pursuing truth wherever it may lead, here's your host, Todd Albaugh.
Across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and streaming worldwide on the Civic Media app. Good afternoon, everybody. I'm Todd Albaugh, along with Mr. Aaron Zommers, our producer and engineer. It is 6 past the hour of 12 noon on this Wednesday, April 16th, 2025. It is a great day to be a Wisconsinite, and it is
Pump Day!
There you go. We made it to another half of week, Mr. Zommers, on a sunny sky at the World Headquarters, downtown Madison, Wisconsin. Going to be a beautiful day. Probably one of the best days of the week. Rain coming in tomorrow. Maybe some snowflakes here and there, and Friday as well, some severe weather. But then Easter weekend, Saturday looks like the better one. Sunday, maybe a few raindrops, but the big bun, as we used to call it in our house, the bunny, he'll make it. He'll get the eggs where they need to be. So hopefully you have a very safe and blessed Easter holiday with you and yours, to those who celebrate. Of course, to our Jewish listeners as well, Passover this past weekend beginning. So a reflective time of year, Mr. Zommers, but spring is in the air.
Spring certainly is in the air.
Yeah, absolutely. It certainly is. Big show today. Big show. Lots to get to. In hour number two at 1:30, Tara Ariano is back. Been a while since we've heard
it
from her.
It's been, I don't know, like 9 months or
a long
more.
Time. She had no one had a baby, but yes, it's been about.
Okay, maybe I should have picked a different number.
But no, Tara's back, an expert in television, a national figure in and of herself, with people in her organization talking about the highs and lows so far in 2025 of television. Maybe we'll talk about White Lotus. Just got done with their run. A lot of network TV shows ending their run as well for the year. So I'll talk to Tara about what's happening in television. In hour number two as well, another What's Worse edition, a hard rock edition, which I will tell you, I was not a hard rock guy kid growing up. I don't know. I guess I was more of a country guy and pop and that sort of thing. But talking about The Who and Led Zeppelin. So, of course, people are going to get a little salty about this, but we'll talk about that in hour number two as well. And then also, we're in a little bit later here, I'm very, very excited about this. I even made news on Pat Kreitlow's show this morning. He had never heard of fusion voting. And this is great because...
Pat hadn't?
No, he hadn't.
That surprises me.
Because he knows everything, right? No, he might be listening. Who knows? But anyway, fusion voting. And this is great because... With all the turmoil happening in politics in the state and the country, how often people call or text in and say, Todd, what can we do about this? Well, here, we got a couple of guys in the studio today that are going to tell us there is something we can do. It's called fusion voting. Very, very, very interesting. Not like ranked choice exactly, but I think as a way to possibly empower people that might not be part of the big two, so to speak, Republican and Democrats. We have former Democratic Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney and former Republican State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz in studio. But first, the lost have been found. He is somewhere in America in a secure, undisclosed location. A Wisconsin boy like myself, a former Republican like myself, and now one of the senior advisors at the Lincoln Project, Trygve Olson, somewhere in America, joins us by phone. Trygve, how the heck are you?
I'm good. I'm at the bookstore at the University of Tennessee today, Todd.
The University, the Vols. The Vols.
The Vols. We're getting some swag. Ula just did a visit, and so we've got to get a little bit of swag.
Well, this just shows what a great dad. And this is, I'm not joking around. As Joe Biden says, I'm not joking around. Trygve is a great dad. Because here you are taking your daughters, you're doing a little university tour. Now, I said to you this morning, this could all be done very quickly if she would just commit to Wisconsin.
Well, you know what? Wisconsin is definitely on the list, Todd. But
oh, good.
We had to do a little road trip. You know, you got to kind of find out what your options are before you can know for sure.
Sure.
So we're doing a bunch of schools in the Atlantic, and today is We did a really nice tour of the University of Tennessee. It's a nice school. You know what? It kind of reminds me a lot of Madison, actually.
I've heard a little bit. I've never been. I've never been to the campus proper, but I've been through town, and I've heard it's a great collegial feel. I mean, they're huge in sports, like Wisconsin is, football especially. Their basketball team has gotten better. The women's program, of course, under Pat Summitt, won how many national championships? So, yeah. And Tennessee is a chill place. Not too hot, not too cold.
You know,
right?
They are, too. They're a big, we found this out while we were here. You know, One of the cool things about going to all these campuses is you learn quite a bit about the different schools and whatever. They're a huge baseball power.
Oh, that's right.
One of the best. In fact, they have two of the top four potential draft picks in the Major League Baseball draft. We learned are here, and they're quite good at that. So
that's incredible. Of course, Wisconsin's been a while since we've had baseball here.
I don't think they have baseball.
No, it's touchy here. It's touchy because they got rid of it, partly because of Title IX, and so people would still like baseball here in Madison. Trigby, let's talk a little political baseball. Lots going on. Lots of things I'd like your take on here before the bottom of the hour. I know you've been following a lot of the news here, and we touched on this quite a bit yesterday on the show. And this is this deportation of one of these individuals by Donald Trump sent to the prisons in El Salvador. And this Abargo Garcia is his name. And here's a guy who the Trump administration, of course, the president of El Salvador was in the Oval Office yesterday. Very disturbing. We talked about it a lot yesterday. But what I want to get to, Trigby, is this new news being reported today by the New Republic. And it turns out, because one of Trump's and Marco Rubio's arguments here is, and Pam Bondi, is that this guy was part of MS-13. And yet in court, they have not proven or shown anything to the judge to uphold that. And now the New Republic are reporting today that the arresting officer in the original arrest of this guy who made the assertion he was part of MS-13, it turns out this guy was relieved of duty himself because he was paying for sex to a prostitute and ended up talking about police cases to this woman. Not exactly a credible witness, as it turns out. And I think it just goes again that as this case goes forward, to me, and I want your take on this as someone who's actually fought autocrats. For those that don't know, Trigby is real, banned from Russia by Putin himself because of his work against autocracies in Eastern Europe. This seems to be the Trump administration and Donald Trump himself denying the truth here and not providing the courts with evidence, and we are in a constitutional crisis, in my opinion, and damn near close to calling it on democracy, because if we don't uphold the law, if we don't have an executive branch who respects the courts, then do we really have a constitutional republic, Trigby?
Well, it's a serious deal. And, you know, here's the thing. The guy was in the United States legally. He's entitled to due process, okay? Like, the president of the United States, and this is why this matters for all of us, doesn't just get to decide, or the Justice Department or law enforcement, who they're going to deport and send to a prison, particularly when you have people who have legal rights. We're either a nation of laws and process, which isn't always going to be pretty, and quite frankly, you know, there are probably people who deserve, you know, we would say, well, they don't deserve, you know, they deserve what they get. But the reality is, we're either a nation of rules and laws, or we're not. And if they can do this to somebody who's here legally, it's a slippery slope being able to just pick up anyone and deport them. So, you know, and send them off to a gulag, really.
Yeah.
So it's a huge deal. We don't, again, it gets back to Todd. If you're a Republican and you're listening to this show, if Barack Obama or Joe Biden did this, how would you be reacting?
Right.
If they had loaded up Sean Hannity or Jesse Waters,
Or let's I mean, I saw this on social media. What if they had taken, what if Biden had taken the January 6th defendants and just put them on a plane to El Salvador?
Correct.
You know.
Yes. And if one of them, particularly if any of them, okay, maybe with U.S. citizens, all right, they're saying, well, he's not doing it with U.S. citizens.
Yet.
But I guarantee you, there are some of those people who are green card holders or non-U.S. citizens.
Right.
Okay. Naturalized U.S. citizens. That should not be happening.
Well, and Trump was.
And then defying the court is just outrageous.
Right. Trump was caught on a
and
live.
Here's what I would say. Ask yourself this. If you're an average citizen, should you have what would happen if you defied a court order?
Right.
Why should the president and the executive branch be above the law?
Well, and we played the cut yesterday. Trump was caught on a live mic talking to President Bukele of El Salvador, saying, quote unquote, homegrowns are next. That he is not ruling out sending full-bird American citizens to El Salvador without due process. And you know, this farce of, well, we can't get him back. Really? I mean, Trump's paying Bukele $6 million. He wrote the art of the deal, for God's sake. Or that's what he says. I mean, you're sitting next to him and you say, Bukele, I'm not giving the $6 million unless we get this guy back. He'd be back like that. So you're right. It goes to due process. It goes to respect to the law.
If they wanted to.
Yeah, exactly.
They could. But it really gets back to rule of law at the end of the day.
Yeah.
It's a slippery slope. And honestly, I mean, I've just been reading this series of books on Germany and sort of the whole period between the rise of the end of the Weimar Republic and all the way through the end of World War II. And it's a slippery slope. It's a slippery slope.
Right.
Because right now it's people who are here that on green cards. You know, it would be LGBTQ community.
Right.
After that, it will be pastors at the Lutheran Church who say things they don't like.
Right.
And eventually, you know, it's a slippery slope.
We've got about a minute left here, Trigg, before we got to go to break. We'll come back. I want your opinion on a couple of things. We come back. One, your colleague at Lincoln Project, Stuart Stevens, also a former Republican. I was talking to Rick Wilson on one of the Lincoln Project podcasts this week and making this point that, look, what Trump is doing here, what his ICE administration is doing, picking people up without due process, is essentially kidnapping. And that is illegal in pretty much every state, as far as last time I checked. Why aren't state attorney generals filing kidnapping charges against ICE and some of the Trump administration? And also, Bill Maher takes dinner with Trump at the White House. Let's Trigg me think about that. And the Packers, are they going to draft a wide receiver? All of that in 7 minutes. Don't go anywhere. It's the All Ball Show right here across Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
In my Tennessee mountain home, life is as peaceful as a baby's sigh.
Welcome back to the Todd Allball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. 21 now past the hour of 12 noon. The incomparable Dolly Parton. Little Dolly. Trigg me, are you going to go to Dollywood while you're down in Tennessee? Joining us via phone, Trigg me Olson, senior advisor at Lincoln Project. Are you going?
We're not planning on stopping at Dollywood, Todd.
Oh. I've heard it's great. I've never been there, but I heard it's really cool.
Yeah, we talked about it a little bit, but to be honest, we're kind of running out of time. We had to go to New Orleans. I mean, this is just the people might find it interesting. We had to go to New Orleans for a family friend event over the weekend, a birthday party. And so then we just decided that we'd road trip back. And we wanted to go to Dolly World, but the problem
would
is these college visits, they take a lot of time.
Yeah. Well, this is the difference between Trigg me and I. Is, what?
I don't know how it was at UWP or I only know UWEC, but you go to the residence halls now, they do the laundry for students.
Good Lord. Really?
Really?
We didn't have that.
Yeah.
No.
We didn't have that either. And I tell you, some of these things that they give for them is the reason why the right has so much success demagoguing universities.
Well, there you go. Trivia, I'll put a little breaking news here. This is courtesy of Channel 3000, CBS affiliate here in Madison. Headline, number of UW-Madison international students alumni whose visas were terminated rises to 26. Says more than two dozen UW-Madison students and recent alumni have seen their visas terminated through the Student Exchange Visitor Information System as of this afternoon, according to university spokesman. The terminations include 15 current students and 12 recent alumni who have held immigration documents through a period of employment authorization. And it continues on from there. So now the number stands at 26. Trevi, it gets back to what we were talking about before the break. We're no longer talking about quote-unquote illegal, or the better phrase is undocumented people. These are people who have done it quote-unquote the right way, have waited in line, who have gotten permission, who have been here, and now because of whatever, and we're not just talking speech anymore. I've seen, you know, various sources. Now, I've seen these documents that ICE is using to identify someone as a threat. It includes, are you... Speaking of college kids, are you roommates with someone who has a Chicago Bulls jersey and a tattoo? Bing, bing, gone. This is real. This is real. So this is what we're talking about now.
People need to understand. Here's the thing. You know what this is going to is? It's going to, again, like the tariffs, like Doge. It's just going to have such a negative impact on the U.S. economy. It is going to cost people in places like Wisconsin jobs. Do you know who are foreign students who came here? Sergey Brin, founder of Google.
Mm-hmm.
Elon Musk was here on a student visa. He actually overstayed his. About, I think it's like 50% of the Silicon Valley entrepreneurs are people who came here on student visas. They're kicking all these people out. They aren't going to want to come here. They're going to go to Europe. They're going to go to China. They're going to go to other places.
Trivi, quick question about our friend and
in those places.
Friend and ongoing contributor Jeff Perry has a question on Facebook. Jeff says, question, what is the next step that can be taken to hold Trump accountable to following court orders? Does it have to be an act of Congress? Are U.S. Marshals able to act independently? Is there any precedent to having a president refuse the honor of a Supreme Court ruling?
No, there's no precedent for that. I think what's got to happen here is, I mean, Congress should be asserting itself. It's not, okay?
Mm.
And it's not because you have people like, you know, do the Brian Stiles and the Scott Fitzgeralds, I doubt that the Tom Tiffany's do, but those guys know this is wrong.
Right.
They need to be hearing. They need, and quite frankly, if they don't go on, they need to be held accountable.
Right.
It's that simple. They have to be held accountable. And quite frankly, it begs the process. Here's the other question: is if he isn't going to honor Supreme Court decisions, when he appointed, you know, how many members of the Supreme Court did he appoint? The next question is. Is he gonna honor elections? So what we have to do is we have to be speaking out to defend the guardrails. And second, we have to not be taking the bait, and we have to be talking about the real world consequences of these kinds of things in terms of economics.
Right.
That 10% of the jobs in Wisconsin are under threat from Donald Trump's insanity around tariffs.
Right.
10%. And 70% of those people voted for Donald Trump who have those jobs.
Yeah, I get it. And that's why we're here to talk about this and tell people the truth. Trigby, we'll save those questions on the state attorney generals filing kidnapping charges and Bill Martell next week, because I want to give you a minute here to talk about. I've got your colleagues here from United Wisconsin, former Democratic Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney and former Republican State Senator Majority Leader Dale Schultz in the studio with me. I know you've been involved in United Wisconsin. You got about a minute, my friend. Talk to us a little bit about your thoughts on United Wisconsin.
I think, you know, I'm really proud of Dale and Dave, and I would say I'm more adjacent than they are colleagues of mine, and I've been friendly to them. I'm really proud of all these people coming together, because as I've said on the show, and it's something Dave and Dale, you know, I'm sure you'll talk to them about, like they've taken, in Wisconsin, there's certain things like higher education, like conservation, like rule of law. These aren't red or blue things. These are green and gold things. And the fact that you've got Dave and Dale, who come from very different places politically, very different parts of the state, standing up and saying, you know what, we've got to get back to that. And oh, by the way, one way that we can do that is through fusion voting. Like, I'm just proud of them. I'm proud of them. They are leading in the grandest tradition of Wisconsin, in the way that the Gaylord Nelsons and the Tommy Thompsons and Warren Knowles and people like that, the giants that made Wisconsin such an amazing place. And you understand that even more if you've had the opportunity to go and live in other places.
Yeah.
What has made Wisconsin special? They're standing up and saying, this is wrong. We're going to defend it.
Yeah.
And I'm just proud of them.
Appreciate it. By the way, Trey, we're going to have Tia Nelson on the show next Tuesday out at Governor Nelson State Park for Earth Day. So I'm looking forward to that. That's going to be a lot of fun. Trey, safe travels.
You know, the other thing, Todd, I'm getting a lot of pressure. We got to get a tour set up. I need.
All right. Well, you're the one traveling across America. My big trip is down to Stoughton for a bakery item. All right, Trey, safe travels. Come on back. More after this on the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
For something, or you'll fall for anything. You've got to be your own man, not a puppet on a string.
Welcome back to the Todd Hallball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. Glad to have you along. 34 minutes now past the hour of 12 o'clock on this Wednesday, hump day, April 16th, 2025. Zombers, I'm all thrown off with the new time changes. By the way, for those that haven't heard, starting a week from today, we'll now be at 2 o'clock until 4 in the afternoon. So we're still in this time slot through Earth Day. And then on Wednesday, you can find us 2 until 4 across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you very much, Trigby Olson, for calling in on the road. And you can find our next two guests on their new project called United Wisconsin. And you can find out all sorts of great information about fusion voting and what United Wisconsin is at United Wisconsin, all spelled out, the full word, unitedwisconsin.org, unitedwisconsin.org. Pleased to welcome in here to the studios at the world headquarters in downtown Madison, former Democratic Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney and former Republican State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz are here as our guests in the studio. Gentlemen, thanks for being here.
Thanks for the invitation, Todd.
As always, delighted to be here.
And in full disclosure, wherever he's on the show, Dale was one of my former bosses. But it's always great to have you guys here. Two people that I've looked up to a lot. Of course, myself, a former Republican. Dale still calls himself, just out of mule spite, a Republican, I think. Because, you know, you tell people you just want to stick around because you don't want to give up the true Republicanism. Is that right?
Well, that's true, and I still consider myself a Republican. I just don't vote a straight ticket.
Right. That's fair enough. And Sheriff Mahoney, you're a Democrat still, but you're someone who is independent-minded.
I am. I like to say I'm a common-sense Democrat. Mm-hmm. And, you know, having run for office 4 terms, longest-serving sheriff in Dane County, I represented every citizen of this county, mm-hmm, without regard to their political affiliation, you know, the big two, Republican, Democrat, but then also the independents, the Greens, didn't have a party at all.
Yeah.
You know, I represented the needs of everybody, and that's what's missing today.
I've heard Dale say the same thing when he was state senator, that once the election is over, I'm here to represent everyone. guys, it's a statewide show. I'm sure there are some people that haven't heard of either one of you. For those folks that might be listening or watching via StreamYard, YouTube, and Twitter, Sharon Mahoney, start with you a little bit about where you grew up and just the 30,000-foot view of your career and how you got involved with the United Wisconsin.
Well, I grew up in Madison, went to high school at Madison Memorial High School, and grew up in a family that believed in giving back to the community, that we enjoy a great life here in Wisconsin with the green and gold, but that you have a responsibility to give back. And I did some volunteer work with Middleton Emergency Medical Service, and through my affiliation there and with the chief of police in the city of Middleton, I decided to go into law enforcement. I served about 9 months with the village of Cross Plains Police Department, and then I was recruited to join the sheriff's office, where I spent 41 years.
Wow.
And during that 41 years, the last 15 as the elected Dane County Sheriff. And I took that role very seriously because, you know, although we have a reputation of being leaning to the left in Dane County, we also have a strong independent and Republican representation within Dane County. And the issues are the same. Mm-hmm. You know, Dale and I have far more in common than we have differentiating us from a political perspective. We might disagree on how we get there, but you know what? We're willing to talk about it, and Dale might bring me his direction, and I might bring him a little bit my direction. Mm-hmm. But at the end of the day, we're serving the people, which is what the responsibility is of our elected people, our elected citizens.
Yeah.
So I served the last 15 years of my career as Dane County Sheriff. And during that time, I also served as president of the National Sheriff's Association, representing 3,080 sheriffs across the United States. Mm-hmm. And this is an issue that I know as recently as this past February was a topic of discussion among the national sheriffs, and I'm staying involved in issues of concern right now. I'm working for a consulting firm out of Chicago that deals in behavioral health in jails and prisons, because it's a increasing number of people who are incarcerated with mental illness.
Senator Schultz, give us a quick overview of you. You've been on the show, of course. We appreciate you. But a little bit where you grew up, not actually too far from where Dave grew up, and how you got involved.
I grew up on the south side of Madison. I went to high school initially right across the street at Madison Central till it closed, went to Madison West, graduated from the University of Wisconsin-Madison, and then promptly went off to start farming on the family farm in Sauk County. Didn't take me too long to figure out I was going to need a job to support my bad habit of farming. And my wife and I eventually moved into Richland Center, where she completed 36 years in education, last 16 as superintendent of schools in our community. And we have two daughters who went through the Richland Center school district, and both doing very well, and they're both graduates of the University of Wisconsin-Madison. Still farm, still involved in some real estate activities, and like to hunt and fish, and like Dave, I want to be involved in helping to solve problems, and that's how I see this whole project with fusion voting. It's a problem solver. I don't know if it's the same here in Madison, but in Richland Center, when I have coffee with the guys and gals downtown, mm-hmm. they all tell me that they're tired of watching the reality show, which is our national government, and they want some sort of a solution. And I tell them, well, I've got a deal for you. Fusion voting is what it's about.
Before we go any further, a quick shout out, because I know her well, known her a long time, your lovely wife, Rachel, who now has started her own, after standing by you for all those years in the state assembly and Senate, now she has been elected herself to the local city council.
Landslide Rachel. She was unopposed in her first effort.
And how about that?
She got
you were never on it. Well, I guess maybe one of your assembly races you're unopposed.
She got a seat at the city council, and I got the vacuum a little more often.
About time. About time.
Well said.
Absolutely. Guys, let's go to the story. For those that want to read the whole story, it's really well done. Go to the Wisconsin State Journal, and it's a story by Mitchell Schmidt. in this weekend's, I was the Sunday State Journal headline, could the same candidate run under separate parties? Wisconsin group wants to try it. I'm going to read this paragraph just to kind of set the table and then have you guys get into it. It says, quote, fusion voting allows the same candidate to be nominated by more than one political party. Voters would still vote only once in each race, but they can choose their preferred candidate without supporting a party they may disagree with. In practice, that means some candidates would appear more than once on a ballot. For example, Jane Doe Republican could appear on the same ballot as Jane Doe Green Party. All votes for an individual candidate, whether nominated by a major political party or a minor party, would then fuse together to create a final vote tally. So that's the premise of this thing, guys. Is that when you're out in the street, is that more or less how you're explaining it to people?
Exactly. as I explain it, it's a means to address the hyper politicization of the two major parties. We can't even have a civil conversation in our nation today. And if we talk about Wisconsin, which, you know, are full of green and gold fans and folks that want to solve problems and believe in the same strong issues of democracy and strong schools and public safety and honoring public servants. It's important that we do that. And right now, the tempo and the temperature is so high that we can't even have a civil conversation. So fusion voting allows not only the identification of the two major parties, Republican and Democrat, and to set their own agendas, but allows a candidate who may be more moderate to appeal to the vast majority, the silent majority of our voters.
I know that, you know, I don't want to get too far down this road, Dale, because that's not what we're here for. But you and the late, great Senator Tim Cullen did a lot of work for years on redistricting. And finally now, thanks to Governor Evers and a fairer, I'll call it, Supreme Court, we now have redistricting legislatively. I've asked another former boss of mine, former Republican Congressman Scott Klug, who represented the 2nd District, including Dane County and Madison, if he thought that he could get elected in the current maps as a Republican. And he said, no, absolutely not. Sheriff Mahoney, I'll ask you, could you think you could get elected today as a Democrat in Dane County?
Well, it not with the margins that I enjoyed when I was running.
Yeah. Dale, I know the maps change now, but think about the Senate district that you represented, those lines. Do you think that you, with your positions voting against Act 10, could have got elected in that district today?
Well, I agree with Dave. I think not with the margins that I did before. You got to remember, I was a guy who was used to getting 75% of the vote. So
he likes to
you'd have to have a lot of fallout to lose. But without a doubt, it would be a lot closer. And who knows?
But to Dave's point, I think this is so important to our listeners and viewers. What I think this idea of fusion voting does is give people who aren't either at the extreme left or right more of a chance to get elected. And what I hear when we take the show on the road across Wisconsin is that's what voters want, Dale.
Well, I go places too. Like I said before, people say, I don't vote anymore. Just encourage the, but I
you
can't say it.
You can say it, bastard.
I can. Yeah. All right. I'm trying to keep you in good stead with the FEC. And, you know, or people say, you know, look, my vote doesn't count anymore. You know, I tried voting for third parties, but they never win. So what's the point? And I guess what I try to tell them is, if you're tired of that extreme partisanship that Dave was talking about, and you want to have some agency in our elections, then fusion voting gives you that opportunity. And we should also mention that the candidates have to accept votes, to say they'll accept votes, but why wouldn't they? And in Wisconsin, where elections are so close, a few votes could make a difference. And if you won with the help of fused votes, I think it's pretty natural you're going to go back and talk to those people and more importantly, listen to them.
Dave, a couple of minutes. Go ahead.
And it re-empowers those in the middle, those who are moderate in their politics, to feel that their voice is being heard and that they're being represented at all levels.
And I thought this was like, well, you know, this has just been cooked up or whatever. But no, as it turns out, this article in the State Journal says fusion voting was commonplace across the country in the 19th century and was used as an avenue for anti-slavery parties to force the issue of abolition in the 1840s and 1850s. Later, populist, working man, suffragette, and temperance parties used the tool to advance their policies and priorities. So this isn't anything new. It's just that we got away from it.
We did, as all across the country. But there are still, I believe, at least three states that have fusion voting in the presidential election: Oregon, California, and Vermont. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we have a constitutional right to exercise fusion voting here in Wisconsin.
But a couple of minutes here before the first break, we'll come back then and talk a little bit more. But is there anything that needs to be said, do you think, to like lay this out so people understand what it is before we go on to how do people get involved?
Well, I just want to make a historical note here that it is important, and it's part of Wisconsin's history. That little schoolhouse in Ripon, Wisconsin, where the Republican Party was born, was a result of Free Soilers, Democrats, Whigs, and a bunch of other little parties coming together to have a meeting because they wanted to change their government, and they all walked out Republicans, and they nominated Abraham Lincoln for the presidency, and were successful. Just imagine how those people who had been shut out, weren't able to get their voices heard, felt when all of a sudden they hit the jackpot by working together. That's the key, working together and compromising with each other to achieve policy goals.
We're talking with former State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz and former Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney here on the show talking about fusion voting. You can find out more at unitedwisconsin.org. Come on back. We'll finish up the discussion and have a little fun as well. It's the Todd Alball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Wherever it may lead and having fun doing it. Welcome back to the Todd Alball Show on the Civic Media Radio Network. It is 9 before the hour of 1 o'clock and hour number 2. We're going to have a What's Worse for you, a rock edition. The Who or Led Zeppelin? We'll ask you that question. And Tara Ariano is back. Always glad to have her talking about TV shows of 2025, the highs and the lows. But right now, it is all wonderful to have our two guests here in studio. Always appreciate that. The World Headquarters in downtown Madison, former Democratic Dane County Sheriff Dave Mahoney and former Republican State Senate Majority Leader Dale Schultz talking about fusion voting. They are the co-chairs of United Wisconsin .org, or the organization is United Wisconsin. You can find out more about this project, more about fusion voting, and it's a great headline: Transcending the Politics of Division. I love that. United Wisconsin, spelled out, unitedwisconsin.org. Guys, lots of great conversation. We really appreciate this. Read a couple of these here off the air. Or on the air, rather, from WMDX here in Madison. History shows us fusion voting can be used for ill purposes, too. Witness Milwaukee when they used it against socialist candidates. Well, I would think that, you know, everything can be used for ill purpose if that's the case. Peggy in Brooklyn, Wisconsin, listening on WMDX, says fusion voting. Yes, yes, yes. Steve up in Green Bay at WGBW. I like the idea of fusion voting on paper, but what prevents a party that is predicated on hateful and harmful policies from nominating a candidate?
Well, as I said earlier, the candidate has to accept the votes. If they say, no, I don't wish to be allow you to nominate me, they have that right. Mm-hmm. And but I think in most cases, if they saw it as a positive addition, they would say, yeah, I want those votes, and then they would be tangentially aligning themselves with this minor party to gather a majority of votes.
Steve in Milwaukee, listening on WAUK, says, how is this different, fusion voting, from ranked choice voting. Well, I'll take it quickly. The super 30,000 foot level is with ranked choice voting, everybody kind of runs under, I don't want to call it one ballot, but it's just an open voting. And then depending upon whether it's a primary or a general, you take the top two or four or whatever it is of all the votes cast, and then they move on. Whereas in fusion voting, you still only have the same number of elections, but a candidate can be listed on the same ballot under multiple parties, as we said before. And I think what's appealing about fusion voting to me, to both your points, Dave and Dale, is in today's hyper-partisan atmosphere, you might have someone that says, well, you know, I'm a Democrat and I could just never bring myself to vote for somebody on the Republican ticket. But, you know, Schultz, I mean, you know, he voted against Walker on Act 10. And if he wasn't running as Republican, I might vote for him again. So theoretically, you could run on a different ticket, and both the votes for Republican and the third party or the fusion party would count. Same thing for Mahoney. Geez, I'm a lifelong Republican. I can't vote for a Democrat, but if he ran under this as sheriff, I might vote for him. So it makes candidates who are more in the middle and centrist have a better chance to win. Do I have that right, guys?
You know, if I look back at my races, you know, I was averaging 68 to 78% in every one of my elections. Mm-hmm. And there are, that percentages don't exist in just the Democratic Party in Dane County.
No.
It was because I was seen as credible and in tune with the concerns of people representing themselves as independent or Republican. The issues that I dealt with have no political significance.
Or they should.
When you call 911, yeah, right. We don't ask you what party you belong to.
Right.
And it was the same when my predecessor, who was a Republican.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's far more that Dale and I, and quite honestly, the representatives who are sitting in the Capitol today, mm-hmm. have in common. What's differing right now is the hyper-politics preventing us from sitting down and addressing the core needs of the citizens who put us in office.
Dale, a couple of minutes left here, about 2.5 minutes left. You guys will be traveling on the road. Talk about that a little bit, how people can get involved.
Well, we are. As you mentioned, Tim Cullen and I teamed up on gerrymandering and had a great time meeting fellow Wisconsinites from one corner of the state to the other through the auspices of a lot of good government groups. I think Dave and I would enjoy getting out and having a chance to pitch this idea in a lot of different places and to turn people on to this as a solution. Because you know what? Government shouldn't just be a reality show that appeals to the worst in people. It shouldn't be the Jerry Springer show. It ought to be befitting of the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence, which undergird our political democracy. And I think that's important to the vast majority of citizens in this state.
Dave, what have I not asked you yet that people need to know?
Well, I think you've asked the important questions, and I just want to follow up on Dale. You know, I agree. Hitting the road and talking about these issues that I really think hit home to hometown Wisconsin, and getting away from the red and the blue and talking about green and gold, because that's really what defines us as Wisconsin.
And what great segue, because if you go to unitedwisconsin.org, what are the colors? Green and gold. How about that? Funny how that works. United Wisconsin, spelled out, unitedwisconsin.org.
And that's how to get a hold of us.
That's the best way to get a hold of you guys and people to get involved. Because, I mean, I guess about a minute left here. Is it going to take some sort of legal action to get this done, you think, in Wisconsin, or is it still too early to predict?
I think it's a little early, but I think we're thinking about that and preparing accordingly.
All right. Very good. So more to come, as Johnny Carson.
You know, we're involved because we want to make this happen.
Yeah.
And we want to return Wisconsin to the greatness that it has always been.
Well, I remember when you were sheriff, Sheriff Mahoney, as a former Republican at the time, and internally people would say, we ain't running anybody against Mahoney because he's going to kick our butt. And because you were representing everybody, and Dale, you know how I feel about you, it was the same way, and the reason you racked up all those numbers. So two great guys, different political parties, but fighting for Wisconsin. Dave Mahoney, Dale Schultz, we appreciate you. Back after this on Civic Media.
The national news cycle never stops. but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.